verses, these gracious and glorious truths from God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Hear the word of God. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. If any speak in a tongue, let there be only two, or at most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. But if there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in church, and speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged, and the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So then, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand through the ages. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who invites us to worship you. Thank you that you enable us to worship you, Father, by your gracious love for us in Christ and your Holy Spirit that indwells us. Lord, thank you for giving to us your word that guides us even as we seek to worship you in God-honoring ways. And pray this morning, Father, even as we study some difficult portions of Scripture, that your Holy Spirit would guide, direct us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In his poem, Burnt Norton, was written back in 1936, part of the four quartets, the poet T.S. Eliot penned these memorable lines. At the still point of the turning world, neither flesh nor fleshless, neither from nor towards, at the still point, there the dance is, but neither arrest nor movement. End of quote. You know, what is that still point of the turning world? T.S. Eliot was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe it would be a great leap of faith that he would concur as a Christian that our triune God is the still point of his creation. Go to the book of Revelation. In Revelation, we behold Christ the Lamb sitting on his throne, surrounded by a great multitude from every nation, all tribes, all peoples, and languages. Maybe to get a bit more specific, we could say that the Lord Jesus Christ is that still point of his turning world. Now, in these closing verses of 1 Corinthians 14, God's word gives us gracious guidance on Christian worship. You know, it's important to understand these verses in context, and just to back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 24 and 25. Hear these again. We looked at them the last Lord's Day. But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. And now verse 26 opens with the question, what then, brothers? Or more rightly interpreted, what then, brothers and sisters in Christ? It's almost an application question. Okay, after hearing all of these gospel truths about worship, you know, how should that change the way that we live, the way that we walk in faith, the way that we worship the Lord? And we'll see in this section of scripture that we're looking at this morning, you know, there are some powerful applications on God-centered worship. And they're delivered on that gracious note of love that we read about in 1 Corinthians 13. For here we see that God-centered worship is guided by God's word and grows his church. That was true in Paul's day, writing to the church at Corinth. It's still true today. God's word, God-centered worship is guided by God's word and grows his church. Well, how does God's word guide and grow his church in worship? We're going to be moving rapid fire this morning. You know, there's seven scriptural truths here. And so that you might follow along if you want an outline, all beginning with the word E. A few may be a stretch, but begins with elements. Secondly, expression. Third, exercise. Fourth, embrace. Fifth, education. Six, emphasis, and finally, eagerness. I'll do my best to review them for you along the way. But beginning with the truth, God's word guides us in the elements of worship. There in 1 Corinthians 14, 26, what then, brothers, when you come together in worship, when you come together as a church family to give God all glory and honor and praise for who he is and what he has done in Christ on the Lord's day, you know, the emphasis here is not on a church building, but really it's on nurturing a heart and a mind for worship. And here we only have four scriptural elements of worship. It's not meant to be an exhaustive list. It's a representative list. But look there at verse 26, a hymn, singing of a psalm of praise. They could have been singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, as we read in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. The second element is a lesson. That's a teaching or a testimony of faith from God's word. Third, a revelation. Revelation is given by Jesus Christ. J.I. Packer interprets a revelation in this way. It's a God-prompted application of truth that in general terms had been received already. It's not a new revelation. You're applying that revelation from God's word that has previously been delivered to God's people. And then fourth, a tongue or an interpretation. And more on that in the verses to follow. You know, here God guides the elements of worship. He doesn't leave it just to our imagination, not just to the majority opinion, or to the loudest voice. Now, here, God's word graciously guides us as it gives us the elements for worship with the purpose, let all things be done for building up. You know, in Scripture, we learn that every element of God-centered worship is for our gospel edification. And that's a good question to ask, you know, when we're thinking about looking at our order of worship, whether it's here or any church you're a part of, you know, will that element of worship edify the body of Christ? Help them grow in their grace and knowledge and love for Jesus Christ. What do we learn about worship here? It's corporate. You know, they're together as a body of believers. There's a scriptural simplicity here. And it's purposeful. You know, God's word guides us in the elements of worship. Secondly, verse 27, 28, God's word guides the expression of tongues in worship. We've already studied this issue of tongues in chapter 12, and then again in chapter 13, and already here in chapter 14. But if you're new or forgetful, what are tongues? Tongues were first practiced, evidenced on the day of Pentecost. There in Jerusalem, you can read about it in Acts chapter 2, that people who were from all nations heard of the mighty acts of God being proclaimed in their own languages so that they could be evangelized. But it seems as well in 1 Corinthians 14, there's also a private prayer language, the gift of tongues that needed interpretation. And here Paul gives them some practical expression of tongues in worship. You know, again, there's a scriptural simplicity. You know, look there at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27. You know, five constraints here about tongues. One, only two or three. You didn't have a long line at the microphone waiting there. Secondly, you take turns. There's an orderliness. They're not all speaking at the same time. Third, there's a need for interpretation. Fourth, in the absence of an interpreter, keep silent. You're going to hear that command three times here in these verses in 1 Corinthians 14. Actually, a command. Keep silent. And the last part of it, a direction without an interpreter, speak only to yourself and to God. You know, these are loving guidelines about the right expression of tongues in worship. You know, remember that the gift of tongues neither edifies the saints nor converts sinners. That's why here in 1 Corinthians 14, the strong scriptural argument is being made that the gift of prophecy best grows God's church. And that's what's next. God's word, thirdly, guides the exercise of prophecy in worship. Verses 29 through 32. Again, what is prophecy? Prophecy is when God's word is being communicated. It charges people with sin. It calls them to repentance and faith in Christ. Prophecy is when the scriptural truth about sin and a Savior is being proclaimed by the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. You know, and it's not just for a few. I believe this gift of prophecy is to be practiced by many in God's church. You know, but again, there's constraints on prophecy, almost a parallel to tongues. Look at them. They're in verse 29. Number, remember, only two or three prophets speak. And then secondly, let the others weigh what is said. We're going to pause here just for a moment. What does it mean when the others weigh what is said? It means to practice biblical discernment. You know, when you're in a worship service, the Word of God is being read, maybe it's being preached, you can ask questions like this. Is the Bible being preached as the inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of God, our only rule of faith and practice? Is there mention of sin? You know, is the gospel being simply presented so that even a child could understand it? You know, is the work of Christ in the cross front and center? You know, do you hear words like grace or forgiveness, gospel and hope? You know, here God is saying, you know, be discerning, weigh what is being said. You remember there's an occasion even in Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul was preaching. You know, sort of like hearing John Calvin preach or D.A. Carson or John Piper preach as the women, many great women Bible teachers as well. You know, but we read this, Acts 17 verse 11. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word of God with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. You know, so while the gospel was being proclaimed, even by Paul, they were, you know, they had their Bibles with them, and they were examining. You know, is this in accordance with the truth of God's word? You know, that's a good thing when you as a congregation do it, whether I'm preaching or anyone is preaching, weigh what is being said. You know, the third constraint back to prophecy, if when a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. You know, again, that second time we hear that word, silent. So if someone is prophesying, someone else has a word from God's word that they want to share, you know, the first one shouldn't hog the floor. They should sit down and be silent. You know, fourth, there's a holy order to this, one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. That's what happens when God's word is being proclaimed. People learn the truth of God's word. They're encouraged in their walk of faith. And then finally, for the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You know, they're not out of spiritual control. God gives them self-control, you know, as they submit to him and the truth of his word. You know, the third is the exercise of prophecy. Fourth, God's word grows our embrace for the God that we worship. Verse 33, for God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. This is one of the favorite verses among Presbyterians, that in the last, verse 40. But our worship services should reflect the character of God. You know, if God's a God of peace, then our worship services should not be chaotic, not random, not haphazard, but they should reflect the peace of God. They should reflect his attributes. There's an orderly reverence in worship. You know, that word peace is important. You know, peace here is not just the absence of conflict, but it's a holy harmony, a gospel unity. Give you a few examples from Scripture. Luke chapter 2, verse 14, the birth, the incarnation of Christ. Remember the angel's announcement, peace among those with whom he is well pleased. Romans 16, verse 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, that began this this epistle, grace to you and peace. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 16, the Lord of peace himself give you peace. And one more, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's the kind of peace that is being spoken of here in 1 Corinthians. You know, God's not a God of confusion, but of peace. What kind of peace? Peace with God through faith in Christ. Peace with God because he has justified us. He has declared us righteous because of what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. You know, that he received our unrighteousness there on the cross. He bore our sins, and we received his righteousness, and he declares us righteous, an alien righteousness. You know, we have peace with God. You know, that always ought to be at the center. Peace with God through faith in Christ. We sang about it this morning. Great is thy faithfulness, that third verse. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. You know, God's promise of peace in Christ should compel us to worship him, but also to embrace him in faith. Now, here this verse of Scripture is telling us that God delights when we draw near to him. But more importantly, he is the God who draws near to us in Christ. You know, he's God not of confusion, but of peace. You know, oh, how our world needs peace. You know, last Sunday, you know, we gathered, rightly gathered together for worship. You know, first reports were that I heard before I left the house, 20 people had been killed in that nightclub shooting there in Orlando, and then it swelled to 49 people. You know, but yet even as we worship, you know, we know God's peace. Even in a world of confusion, even in a world that seems in chaos because of sin, you know, we know God's peace. God's word grows our embrace for the God that we worship. Fifth, God's word guides our education about women in worship. You know, most of our Bibles start with a new paragraph right there at the beginning of this section. It breaks verse 33. As in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches. This is an accepted worship practice. Women should keep silent in the churches. I don't know about you, but that gospel verse sort of grabs my attention right away. A hard verse to preach on. And 10 women attended the Gospel Coalition conference. I heard a lot of good preachers, teachers, many of them women. Listened to a few of them as I had time. Wonderful exposition of the Word of God. You know, there's a number of ways we can handle this, and we're going to do it just in the time allotted here. You know, there are some, even some serious Bible scholars who say those verses shouldn't be in the Bible. And they have long, extended reasons for saying why those verses ought not to be there. Or there's others who say, well, the Corinthians were asking a question about this, and they were obviously misguided. I believe these verses are included in the Bible for a reason, all in the context of worship. And so let's dig in quickly. You have to see these verses in context. That's a vital principle for Bible study. Always look at the passage before you in context. What came before it? What follows it? We're talking about worship here. We're talking about worship service on the Lord's Day into the Lord's house. We've already heard that command to silence two times. In verse 28 and verse 30, the command, those speaking in tongues, when to be silent, prophets, when to be silent. Now it's women, when to be silent. But here God's word guides our education about the right role of women in worship. You know, keep in mind this is only one truth out of seven here. And we need to look at the other portions of Scripture, but this morning, just looking at these verses, three quick principles here. Going back to 1 Corinthians 11, you can look at your notes or sermons or online. I'd be glad to give you my sermon notes. Remember, the question was about women prophesying and praying and that whole issue of head coverings. And yes, they could prophesy or pray, but they had to wear that sign of submission. Not only as unto the Lord, but unto their husbands as God's ordained leader for the household. So I believe we need to see that in what has already been taught in 1 Corinthians. Secondly, this call to silence would not mean that they would refrain from singing with the church family or praying. You know, that's just foolish. You know, they've already been commanded to sing, to pray. But Ligon Duncan puts it this way. This call to silence is, quote, a restriction against women engaging in authoritative, didactic speech in the assembly of the Lord's people. Put that more simply, women are not to preach in public worship. They should be in submission as the law, and that's capital L, also says. Not quite sure. The law is the first five books of the Bible. The best way of understanding this would be going back to Genesis chapter 2. You know, God created man first, then he created Eve. Even before the fall, man was given that role of being the spiritual leader, the head of his family. And here, the reference in 1 Corinthians 14 is back to that creation ordinance in Genesis. But third and finally, if they desire to learn, and that's a good thing, it's not saying that women should just be ignorant. If they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home. And so the burden in many ways falls upon the husband. You know, husbands, are you teaching the Bible to your wives at home? Are you reading Scripture to your family? Are you explaining it to them? Are you practicing what you preach at home? You know, this is a clear gospel call for us to study God's word on our own, to teach the Bible in our families. And so this submission by the women shows their love for their husbands, for the Lord, and for God-centered worship. Sixth, and we're going to move through these two quickly, God's word grows our emphasis on his word and worship. Returning to the word there in verse 36. It now God's word is addressing all of the church, or was it from you all that the word of God came? You know, God's word did not originate with us. God's word not only reaches here the church at Corinth, but also the church in Rome, Philippi, Athens, Ephesus. It reaches out to Jews, to Gentiles, to Muslims, to atheists, to women, to men, to Asians, to Africans, to people from the Middle East, to the rich and the poor. You know, if anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are the command of the Lord. We're all in submission to the word of God. God's word guides us, not only in worship, but in all of life. It guides us in our homes, in our marriages, and in our families. And finally, God's word grows our eagerness for worship. Verse 39 and 40. So my brothers and sisters, at note of love, eagerly, earnestly desire to prophesy. Don't forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, God's word here is calling us to focus our worship always on the sure truth of God's word. And may we as his church always be growing in our love for Christ. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We thank you for giving to us the truth of your word. Thank you as well for the glorious, gracious privilege of coming together to worship you, to sing your praises, to feed upon your word.